So we'll ask Brother Josh to come forward and give us the much-needed words of exhortation.
Well, thank you, Chase, and good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all and to be here with you all around the table of our Lord together this morning. It's nice that we also got an extra hour of sleep, or most of us did, hopefully ready to take on today and to another week ahead of us. It's been about 3 months now since Tally and I have gotten back from our trip to Australia, and it seems like forever ago that we were there. It's crazy how time flies. But many of the ecclesias that we visited on the East Coast and the South Coast wanted to send their love and greetings to you all. I just wanted to make a general statement because many of the ecclesias we visited said that, and if I was to list them all off, be up here for a lot longer than I'm sure you'd like me to be. So they said to send their love and greetings to you all. I mean, we certainly miss our friends and our brothers and sisters in Australia. Hopefully, God willing, many of them have plans to come out and visit. And then if not, we will see them in the kingdom. And I've been thinking a lot about the title for my exhortation this morning, what it was that I wanted to talk about with a short amount of time. Normally when I go to prepare an exhort, I stress out about what it is that I'm going to say because I want to share something with you that is as beneficial to you as it is for me. I know that everybody here has different needs and is at different stages of their life. They have different things going on, and maybe we relate to things a bit differently. But when I struggle to find what I'm going to talk about, I'm always reminded that there is nothing that I can say that is more encouraging than what is found in the Word of God and in the sacrifice that is which is symbolized in the emblems before us. And there's something else too, something even more encouraging than any exhort. And it's each of you here this morning. For me, when I come to meeting on a Sunday morning, one of the greatest exhortations that I find is the brothers and sisters and young people walking through those doors. And so after putting my name down one morning when I was starting my day, I was catching up with the various issues that the world is currently facing. And when I was reading and learning about the news in the Middle East and the wars and the difficulties happening there and in Ukraine, I could feel myself starting to feel weighed down. And when I was thinking about these things, three words came into my mind when thinking about Christ's return. And those are, one day closer. And I've left this title open-ended deliberately because I want us to fill in the rest of the statement. What are we one day closer to? What are you one day closer to? Is it that job promotion? Is it graduating or high school or university? Is it one day closer to a big vacation? And these three words have really helped me in my own life put my trials and anxieties into perspective, knowing that we are just one day closer to Christ's return. When I'm feeling overwhelmed and anxious about certain difficulties or world events, these words have helped me to have endurance. And just knowing that all these other things will be taken care of in my life for me, we can have this sense of peace in our hearts, knowing that the God of peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So the focus of the exhortation this morning is to encourage and to strengthen one another here and to provide examples in Scripture of things that we can do in our own lives that we have been commanded to do and encouraged to do as we lead up to Christ's return. So with these things in mind, let's turn to our second reading this morning read for us from Acts 16, where we find three examples and events that come into Paul's life that help him along his journey, give him strength along the path. Turn with me to Acts 16. And in Acts 16, we're placed in a time of hardship and persecution of believers, a time when it was difficult to preach for fear of persecution. But this didn't stop Paul, Silas, and many others from sharing the gospel message. One day closer also means that we have been blessed with one extra day to share the gospel message with others. And so in our reading this morning, we are introduced to three people who came into Paul's life that would help him. Those people are Timothy, Lydia, and the jailer. Paul was on a mission to press forward to the prize of the high calling, and he was going to take as many people with him as he could. And so we see that he does this in verse 1, where we are introduced to Timothy, who is described by Paul as Paul's as a fellow worker in the truth. And in verse 5, we learn that they were strengthening ecclesias in the faith along the way, and believers were increasing in number daily. And I love this sense of urgency that we find in this chapter to spread the gospel message. This is partially to do with persecution and the need to stay on the continual move. But we see language such as in verse 10 where it says, when we had seen a vision, immediately we sought to enter Macedonia. In verse 11, so putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course through to Samothrace. In verse 15, Lydia urges them to stay, it says. And suddenly, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake and immediately all the doors were opened. And finally in verse 33, the jailer took them that very hour of the night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all of his household. The message of Christ was growing like a wildfire, but spreading the message wasn't short of its difficulties for believers and for Paul. He too needed the strength and the encouragement from those around him. And so after we are introduced to Timothy in verse 1, we are met with Lydia in verse 14. Lydia, as it says, is a worshiper of God, as she is described, whose heart was opened by the Lord, by the Lord as Paul spoke. And she provided them shelter and rest. And finally, the third person in this chapter that would give Paul encouragement and strength is the jailer, down in verse 27. After the great earthquake, we see Paul save this man from taking his own life, and both he and his whole family were saved. And Paul and those who were with him were brought into his home, and they were fed, and they rejoiced together, it says in verse 34. And then finally again, we are met with Lydia in verse 40, which reads, and they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. When they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. And so we see in this chapter this rapid firing of events, where each step of the journey is met with a difficulty or trial. But Paul was also met with people who would encourage him and give him strength to carry on down the road towards God's kingdom. And I want to take a few verses now from Scripture that help us get organized and get us prepared for Christ's return. Things that we have been instructed to do and to continue doing as we see that day approaching. And many of Christ's parables are kingdom focused, aren't they? There are things that we've been instructed to do as we wait for Christ's return, things that we should be focusing our lives on. We think of the parable of the 10 virgins for an example. We have 5 wise and 5 foolish. The thing that separated these two groups is one thing. It was the amount of oil that they had in their lamps. The 5 who already had oil, they were ready to meet their groom when he arrived. The spark that was created to light the wick would continue burning, not only when their master arrived, but it would be lit when they were walking with him. The 5 who were not ready did not have enough oil, and when it was time to meet their groom, they weren't able to see for lack of light. And so let's keep the word of God at the center of our lives, reading and speaking about his word. And God has provided it to grow closer with one another and to him, to his son. And it has also given us tools that we can use to give him glory in our everyday life. And so here are just a few examples from Scripture of things that we can do today to better prepare ourselves for Christ's return. First, keep busy. We need to get busy in the work of the truth. Let's take the parable of the minas or the talents as an example. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 and the parable of the minas is from 11 to verse 26. We will just read 11 to 13. Luke 19 starting at verse 11. As they heard these things, He proceeded to tell them a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And he said to them, a nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. Christ's command and encouragement here is for us to do business. Let's get busy in the work of the truth, improving in the areas in our personal lives that God has blessed us with to give and to grow. He was calling his servants to be profitable servants, that they might increase the money that was entrusted to them. It's a lot easier to slip and to make mistakes in our own lives when we are less involved, and this can be said in any area of our life. Let's think of David. Let's take David as an example for a moment here, a man of God in one of his greatest moments and in one of his weakest moments. In one of his greatest moments, not as a king, but as a shepherd, he was busy working in his father's flock, not his own flock, but his father's flock, defending the flock from wild animals. And when he was called to fight the giant, the enemy of Israel, he arose early in the morning, as scripture says, to provide, he found provision for the flock. He left them with a keeper. And then he made his way to where his brothers were stationed to bring them provisions. And then when we see in one of his weakest moments of his life, we find him at home alone when his troops were fighting the enemy of Israel. And the ark of God was left vulnerable in the thick of battle. And David chose to stay home and was overcome by his weakness. This parable of the mina back in Luke ends in verse 26 with those who had increased gaining more, and those who didn't, theirs was taken away. Let's continue to stay busy in the work of the truth, allowing the word of God to be active in our hearts that we might show others our faith, and by our works, showing others the things that we have chosen to invest our lives in. Next, stay alert. Christ tells us to be discerning and to be watchful. In Mark 13, we are told to be discerning and to be on our guard. Mark 13, verse 9, Jesus warns his disciples not to be led astray by false claims. He says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. False prophets will arise and will perform signs and wonders to lead many astray, and if possible, even the elect." We have to be constantly analyzing our own lives and the environment around us to make sure that we are still on that path that Christ has laid out so perfectly for us. We are told to watch and to be on alert, for we do not know when the time is coming. Mark 13, verse 32 to 33. And we are to be watchmen. We are to sound the alarm for our brothers and sisters and for those around us that Christ's return is soon. And the next thing that we can do to prepare for Christ's return is to continue in rejoicing. We are told to rejoice in the Lord and to sing praise to his name and to pray often. And from our reading this morning that was read for us and that Chase highlighted, from our reading this morning through this difficult trial that Paul and Silas were going through, they rejoiced in their God and they sang praise to his name, knowing that whatever happened to them, that God was with them. And Psalm 118 verse 4 to 6 reads, "Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called upon the Lord and he answered me. He has set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" When we are singing praise during difficult times in our lives, people will notice and they will ask us how we could be doing this. And we can share with them just as Paul and Silas did through this difficult trial. And so even after they were beaten with rods and struck with many blows, as it says in chapter 16, verse 23 of Acts, with their feet fastened tightly to the stocks, a lack of sleep and exhaustion should have overtaken them. But in verse 25, we see that they were praying and they were singing praises to God. They were witnessing to God's goodness and his love, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And they were able to do this because they knew that they were not alone. They knew that God was with them. And we have been encouraged by Paul here, and as well in Philippians 4, verse 5 to 7, which tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5 says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." Why? Because the Lord is near. And in verse 6, Paul continues, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God." And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are such comforting words from a servant of God who had experienced such trials and can relate to these things that we have just read about. And because of their example, we are able to save, he was able to save not only the jailer, but his whole family. Next, we are told we don't lose hope. Next, we have been commanded to not lose hope. Paul reminded Titus, in Titus 2 verse 11 to 13 that Jesus' first coming brought salvation, and it instructs us how to live sensible, righteous, and godly lives in this present age. And it is our blessed hope, as it says, the expectation of Jesus' return that compels us to do so. Titus 2 verse 11 to 13. Jesus warns us of troubling events near the end of the ages, including persecution of believers. And he added that nothing, not even persecution, should separate us from the love of Christ, should distract us from the one necessary thing, which is preaching the gospel, the hope of the gospel to all nations. Mark 13, verse 10. Next, we've been instructed to keep each other accountable. We are encouraged to provoke one another unto love and into good works. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. This is the last passage I'll turn up to with me. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 21. And the context here is Christ's sacrifice and what this has accomplished for you and I. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting at verse 21. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast with the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another unto love and to good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. This same word here, my version says stimulates. Other versions it says to provoke or to stir up. Is the same word that is used back in Acts 15 when there was a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And we need this exact same passion and emotion to stir one another up unto love and to good works. To stir one another up, and the result of that stirring up should result in a mutual love for each other and for God and for our community. A love for those things that are eternal. Provoke in such a way that will lead unto good works. Stir one another up in such a way that will lead unto action and unto good works, helping one another towards the kingdom. Encourage one another. Finally, we need to encourage one another, and all the more, as that verse says, as we see that day approaching. Encourage. I know that each of us here feels that we are so close to Christ's return. How much more are we doing to encourage ourselves individually? How much more are we doing to encourage our neighbors and our brothers and sisters, our friends and our families? How much more are we doing to encourage each other collectively as an ecclesia? We need each other, this family of God that has blessed us with. We desperately need each other. The strongest relationships are built on the things that we have in common, aren't they? We all come from different walks of life. We have different skills and we have different interests. But at the end of the day, we all have the exact same thing in common, the most important thing in common, which is our shared hope. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. These relationships that we build in our community, with our community, are so important. And I like this analogy of iron sharpening iron, because what doesn't sharpen iron? Well, the first thing that came to my mind is wood, for example. We think of an axe head. If an iron is to be effective at its job at cutting and slicing, it needs to be in constant relationship with iron. If iron and wood are constantly in relationship, iron can never be sharpened because it's not of the same material as wood. And so this is what the Word of God is saying to us when it says that we are not to be unequally yoked. If I am in a relationship with somebody or something or some venture that is not equally yoked, what happens is one becomes damaged and the other becomes dull. So let's continue to surround ourselves and engage our things in the things that will sharpen us spiritually. The things that don't dull our vision or our enthusiasm from running the race that is set before us. And so let's find ways to encourage one another, and all of the more as we see that day approaching. Not neglecting the meeting together, as it says in verse 25 of Hebrews 10, but encouraging each other all the more as we see that day approaching. And finally, while we patiently wait for him, we are commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ to do this in remembrance of him. To do this in remembrance of him. To meet here each week, but not only just to remember him now in the short time that we have together, but to do this, to remember him each and every day, to take up our crosses and to follow him. And so in summary, we have looked at just a few things and a few tools that Scripture provides for us to help strengthen our vision and to help encourage us towards God's kingdom. We've looked at keeping busy, staying alert. We have to continue rejoicing, not to lose hope. We are to encourage one another, and we are to keep each other accountable. Our closing hymn gives us a very good summary of what we have talked about and considered this morning. Hymn 347 says in the first verse, "Hark," or in other words, "Listen up," is the watchman's cry. "Jesus himself is nigh. Wake, brethren, wake. Sleep is for sons of night. You are the sons of light. Yours is the glory bright. Wake, brethren, wake." And in the final verse says, "Sound now the final chord thrice. Holy is the Lord. Praise, brethren, praise. What more befits the tongue framed for angelic song? To him all praise belongs. Praise, brethren, praise." We are one day closer to Christ's return. Let us, as Paul did, forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead, pressing on to the goal for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so this morning, we have not come to mourn a death, although we are reminded of the intensity and the weight of pain he endured on the cross. We remember him through the symbols of his body that was given. We remember him through his life, which he dedicated and poured out to his Father and for you and I, to helping others each day. This morning, we have come to remember all that Christ was and all that he is today. We have come to sing joy, with joy in our hearts, to sing praise to God and to encourage one another. Because Christ has overcome sin and death, he has provided us a way to salvation. Christ has overcome sin and death and has risen from the grave. Christ lives. And now waiting for his Father to send him back to the earth, when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, when death will be no more, when crying and pain will pass away. Today we are one day closer to Christ's return. And so as we wait, let us draw a little bit closer to him. Let us forgive and extend our patience a little bit more. Let us love greater and endure a little bit longer. Let us run a little bit faster and sing a little bit louder. Let's shine a little bit brighter today and every day as we draw one day closer to his return. And I want to close with two verses, the last two verses of the entire Bible, which says, "He who testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen."